Welcome to the Red Card District. This is our Group B preview. Joining Alex and I are Mark Cunningham. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark with a C, JC88. Hello, Mark.
Hello. How are you doing today?
It's a pleasure to have you.
As always.
He has written our Australia preview for us here on the Red Card District. And also joining us is Gus Contreras. Hello, Gus.
Yo, what up?
What up, what up? You can follow Gus on Twitter at GusContreras21. He has written our Group B preview for Spain. Also joining us, of course, like I said, is Alex Beck. He also wrote our Holland preview. The Netherlands and all their glory. And so we have a whole lot of fun Group B action to talk about. So let's start with the reigning champions, España, La Furia Roja. Give us a little breakdown, Gus, as to how you feel this Spain squad looks going into the tournament.
I think it's just a question about whether they're able to keep up that intensity and that high level of play that's required to play the tiki-taka kind of style. So I think it's just a question whether, I guess these old, they're not even old, they're older, like young, lower 30s, but it's just going to, the question's going to be able to see if they'll be able to keep it up for a fourth straight cup title. So this is the coolest story for me. This is...
Well, it's certainly unprecedented, right? I mean, no one's ever done it. You know, they're quite miraculous and very impressive run of three consecutive major tournament wins is, like we said, unprecedented. It hasn't happened before. So the pressure's on them. But I think for the first time in a while, I mean, I don't think anyone doubts the talent, you know, that they have. But maybe there's a question about some of the players in the squad. And, I mean, do you think were there any notable omissions from the squad for you?
No, not omissions. Navas, I guess you can kind of say, but he had a really off year in the Premier League.
And he had an injury at the end of the season, so he's not really in form.
Right, so he's the only one and Llorente, but they have Diego Costa now, so I don't really think, I think it balances itself out. It's just a question whether Xavi and Iniesta can tag team this and put the team on their shoulders and do it.
Let me put this to the rest of you guys. I'll start with you, Alex. Do you think Xavi and Iniesta still have what it takes? Like, do you think they have enough in the tank left to get them across the line here?
I think they have enough to get them to the semifinal.
Okay, and how about you, Mark?
Personally, I mean, I feel like they're probably a little bit too old at this point. I think Iniesta can still produce magic in the same way that Pirlo does. They'll probably have to play Xavi a lot less, but they have a deep enough team to make it to the final, I feel, if they just stay consistent and let their manager guide them and study hard, you know, push forward, and they'll be good.
Now, Gus, we were talking a little about the strikers. I think Llorente is a bit of an... I think the only glaring omission for me is Llorente instead, you know, taking someone like, I would say Torres. If we already kind of assume that they were going to bring in Diego Costa, because that's been what they've been talking about for a while, I think the one spot that was up in the air was, I mean, I know Negredo has been injured, right? So he was the other guy that people would think form-wise. But Llorente, you know, we've got to say, has been snubbed for Torres. Torres, who's done a lot for them in the past. Do you think, outside of that, do you think there's anything else for their strikers that they're missing, or do you think that Tobolska's gotten this right?
Yeah, I think it's a good mix. I don't like you talked about Fernando Torres. I don't think he probably doesn't deserve a place in the squad now that I think about it. But it just kind of seems natural that he would be in there. So I just kind of accepted it. Like, all right, Torres made another World Cup squad, but without really thinking about it. But now that you bring it up, yeah, I get this dude shouldn't be on the team at all.
There's no doubt that Negredo and Llorente have both been on the phone to Spanish immigration services about Diego Costa's passport for hours, complaining and crying about him being Spanish now, you know. So I mean, that was bound to happen anyway. But Diego Costa has had his standout season. And Negredo...
Season and a half, I'd say, even. I mean, he's been
killing it. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Torres has had... He's been Torres. He's been the Torres from 2011 till now. So we know him as the new Torres, right? So the new Torres is
new,
awful.
New, broken, sad Torres.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like an old Torres because he's just broken down.
Yeah, he's a meme of his own, okay?
Right.
So when you have a player like... We have Negredo and Llorente. Llorente's had a great season at Juventus. He started off slow and then he completely got in a groove. Mm-hmm. Negredo has had patches, but he's been brilliant in those patches. And so obviously...
Got tired in the second half.
Yeah, and so I think what Del Bosque was thinking was bring someone different from the other. So Diego Costa is a bit like... Negredo is a bit like Llorente, and Torres is different in that he's shit, but he's also different in that his movement's better, maybe. He gets in those positions, and David Villa slowed down. Mm. So maybe, and he's more agile than those two. So maybe that's why he chose him. Or maybe he's just being he's picking favorites. But,
Yeah, there's no doubt that Torres is a favorite because even when Llorente was in the squad, he never played.
Mm-hmm. I think what Del Bosque might be trying to go for here is just some continuity, you know, just familiar faces and familiar strategy that will allow these players to keep going the way they have been.
But I mean, we've seen how that can often bite people in the ass. You know,
it bites England every 4 years.
Every fucking time. Every fucking time it bites England. You know, I mean, but yeah, the failure to move and adapt, and you look at it even on the club level, players that don't replace and let these guys get old. I mean, you got to say that. But let's go back to World Cup 2010, or even let's go back to 2008. You know, right. you look at these teams and you look at like what David Villa and Fernando Torres were then. You know, right. to think about right. the extra steps of pace they had and the hunger. I mean, I'm not to say that they can't finish and do stuff anymore, but the difference. My big question here is, so like, obviously, we'll get into Diego Costa's, the issue with his nationality thing right now. But on form, it made sense that, you know what, hopefully these won't matter because, you know, your starting striker should be Diego Costa. And that's the mm-hmm. guy you play through week
healthy,
in, week out.
A healthy Diego Costa.
But. Yeah. This is a man who has repeatedly come back much too early from hamstring injuries and walked off yeah. inside 10 minutes, you know, in his last two appearances. And I don't know about you guys. I have a dodgy hamstring, you know, like I've pulled a hamstring pretty bad and I understand those injuries don't just fucking go away. Right. You know, right. they don't Especially. Miraculously heal it themselves. And this is the kind of thing. If the idea is that ideally they at least have Diego Costa fit for the end of the group stage or after the group stage, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm sure they want him for opening day, but what happens if he goes down and you have to depend on Torres and Villa? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I understand leaving out those other players if you have 100% fit Diego Costa, but like, if you want to play, if you plan on playing off a target man, like a guy like a Diego Costa, or you'd want to have someone in like Llorente who could play that role. So I don't know. It seems
like they can
risky.
Always play a false nine, those clever Spaniards.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just
that's going into the whole the CB4 thing. I don't want to say his name, sorry. The false nine.
CB. CF.
CF, my bad. Yeah. CF.
I was like
CF,
CB4.
CF.
There's a okay.
CF, CF.
Yeah.
I thought you were calling him a Sesky bitch there, so I was like, what?
Sesky bitch. Yeah. Yeah,
subliminal.
That motherfucker. We'll talk about him.
Who's this Ses guy you guys speak of? I'm not quite sure.
I don't know. Some guy that used to
all this vitriol.
Some man that used to be my idol that is now nearing terrible stages. But so Sesk, there's a good chance Sesk will play. I mean, he's been a very influential player. He scored, you know, he assisted the World Cup winning goal 4 years ago.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Yeah, and all that. So I expect him to have a large impact. I expect to see him playing. I mean, he wears the number 10 for Spain, and I expect to see him out there.
Right.
Do any of you guys have any concerns, though, just specifically about – like, do you guys have any issue with Diego Costa jumping ship?
Let's go with
you guys. Do you have any qualms about him doing this?
Not if it's legal. No, not at all. And I guess it kind of is. So
Not even if it was illegal. I wouldn't even mind if it was illegal.
He wasn't going to play for Brazil, so he went the Spanish route. That's all right with me.
Well, now Scolari says that he would have been picked, right? I mean, that's what he says now, but...
Yeah, hindsight's, of
course.
Yeah.
Right, of course. I don't know. I know that the entire country of Brazil, as we've heard from even from Deb, who was with us for our Group A preview, you know, that Brazil is hoping for that a recurrence of that hamstring injury in the beginning of the first game of the World Cup because they think that's what it would get him for being a Judas and not playing for their country.
Well, look at Eduardo.
Yeah, but Eduardo never played for Brazil. You know.
That's true.
It's a little different. And then he did grow up in, he spent much more time in Croatia, not just like, you know, professionally. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Now let's talk them at the back. So there's been a little bit of debate over, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any debate over who's going to start in goal for Spain. You know, it's Iker Casillas. I'm thinking of Pasilla Chili's. Like I'm going to do some cooking later. No, Iker Casillas, it's his undisputed number one shirt. I don't think there's much debate about that. Obviously, you know, there were concerns about that considering he wasn't playing week in, week out at Real Madrid. But to the point that you made in your post, Gus, this may very well may be his last tournament for Spain.
Yeah, and that's a big deal because he's played with them since 2002. He's the most capped player. I think he has 153 caps, I want to say.
Impressive.
And yeah. That, holy crap, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's characterized as a fuck ton. I believe that's the official
one. There we go. Boom.
If you get more, you know, because a century of caps is such a huge, you know, momentous occasion. To have 150 is insane.
Yeah.
I can't even get one. I can't even get fucking one.
Think about the big deal that England made for David Beckham crossing the century mark, and look at what Casillas has done.
I mean, any chance they have to slurp off David Beckham, that happens.
You know? Right.
It's not surprising at all.
This is awesome. This is one of the cool things in sports that doesn't really get any play.
How do you feel about their defensive partnership? Obviously, you know, they've had pretty consistent defensive performances in general. Carlos Puyol is no longer in the mix, but they have, you have to say, a pretty top class central defensive pairing in Pique and Ramos. Do you think, you were talking about Ramos coming into his own and what he's done at center back. Do you have any more to say about that, Gus?
Yeah, I think he's played. I when it first happened, I never thought that he would be a good center back or fit into that position just because of how much he liked to get forward. I guess he still does too, but holy crap, he's played the position well, and he's established himself as the main guy at Real Madrid, and they just won the Champions League because of him. There's no better period for him right now.
Not to mention, you know, the goal threat that he provides for his team. So
yeah, well, like he was saying, I mean, he scored those goals in the Champions League, you know, and he's come up with some huge goals, especially at the end of the season. I mean, it's a great way to go into a big tournament, scoring huge goals for club. Mm-hmm. You know, to your point, Gus, what you're making, I mean, yeah, he really used to bomb forward on the right flank, but you always looked at his physicality, and he's a beast, you know, he's quite a specimen.
Mm-hmm. He's a pit bull. He snarls at people. He gets pissed.
If you're a center back, you got to have that nasty in you. You know,
you do.
You got to have that, and that's what you know. That's why you look at him. If you want to go like nastiest center back pairings, you put him next to Pepe. I mean, that's a nasty cunt duo that you know. It's quite fearsome.
Yeah,
I mean,
honestly,
I mean that's why. And you watch when they get into battles when those two guys are fighting against guys like Diego Costa. You know, mm-hmm. they were interviewed him about it, right? You know, when they were talking about playing against him in club and how much they hate it, but how much they want him on their team because it's just such a fight up against players like that.
It's a hate respect thing.
Yeah, I mean Ramos has been one of my favorite defenders for many a year, and so I really see him excelling. And it's like I said, yeah, it's perfect for him going into this tournament, the run that he's been on, and you know we'll see where it takes him.
He's like one of the leaders of the team now. He's been around for a while now, so. I definitely expect him to have a big role for the team.
And they're definitely not missing him at right back, that's for sure. I mean, Azpilicueta or Juanfran, you know, Albiol, any of these guys could step up or are going to step up.
Yeah, Albiol not so much. I expect to be Azpilicueta, right? Is that what you guys think he'll be starting?
Sure.
Him or Juanfran. Yeah. I mean, Juanfran has played excellently for Atletico Madrid, so I think you can't really go wrong with either one.
I think they're gonna go for a more bullish defense, considering against Brazil in the Confederations Cup, they just got beat down physically, and they're definitely looking to come into this tournament and represent themselves with strength in the back. That's for sure.
And is Jordi Alba fit now? Is he going to be ready for the first game at left back for them, or is someone else be playing left back?
I haven't heard too much about his situation.
I remember he had an injury. I mean, I know they said it didn't, that he wasn't ruled out of the World Cup, but it ruled him out of the last few games for Brazil. I mean, for Barcelona.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, enough. I didn't even know he was injured, to be honest.
I think he's fine. I haven't paid attention. I just don't remember who they have in reserve at left back, because Nacho Arsenal's Nacho Monreal did not get called up.
He had been
the deputy left back, you know, for the last tournament, but you know, form and playing time certainly kind of went against him a little bit.
I mean, they could put Azpilicueta on the left easily and substitute Juanfran in on the right, and I mean, there's just their backs are so versatile.
I was very impressed with Azpilicueta this year, playing on the left side, replacing Ashley Cole when he was a right-sided defender. You know,
right?
I didn't really rate him that much. I mean, I saw a lot of potential, but I didn't think it was that great until really what I saw him put in consistently this year for that shitty team, West London.
Yeah, whatever they're called.
And when you think about it, I don't want to talk about them right now.
If you think about it, if you have Juanfran in the right and Azpilicueta on the left, that's arguably better than Jordi Alba,
right?
And Torres.
Some would say. Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a viable case to be made.
I think the only question in defense is Piqué going to be as sharp as he was in the last World Cup? Because I feel like he's just slipping in form recently.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Piqué, we know the class is there with Piqué. We know he's a very quality footballer. You got to look at the rest of that defensive lineup at Barcelona that probably didn't lend him many favors, you know?
Right.
Not having a lot of physicality around him. Honestly, that Barcelona team is a little bit of it's tough to call it a shadow because they were within a goal of winning La Liga, but they really don't look like the Barcelona of old. And you look at the defensive setup around them, it's been nowhere near as solid. You know, he's playing alongside Bartra and people like that, and Song and Mascherano, you know, like as well as Mascherano's played at center back. He's a defensive midfielder. You look at his size and his stature, you know what I mean? He isn't, for me, an ideal center back. I'd rather play him as a holding mid. So I think that affects it. I think in amongst these guys, I think he'll perform admirably as long as he's fit. And I think that's the key. Now let's move on to another team, because we do have an interesting rematch in this group. They get to face Holland. The Netherlands are the World Cup finalists, you know, the beaten World Cup finalists last time around. And this team is a bit interesting. Why don't you tell us a little bit about them, Alex? What do people need to know about this Dutch team other than they're full of a bunch of fucking assholes?
What they need to know about the Dutch team is that they're full of fucking assholes.
I said other than that.
There were a lot of... The thing is, I wrote about this, and they've got a lot of old experienced players, and then they've got a complete batch of new inexperienced players, and their coach, he's chosen a lot of old, he's tried to choose a lot of the players that he's chosen before, but some of them got injured, most of them retired, you know. We Van Gaal, he's stuck with the team. Holland no longer have Bullerus, Bommel, Boomer, Matthijssen, Heitinger, Stekelenburg. They're all old, retired, or having two average a season. You know, you've got Ouya and Van Bronckhorst. They retired 2010. All the players that we're going to expect much, that we expected much from, they're injured or they're out.
I see Van der Vaart's out. Strootman's out with injury.
Van der Veel.
Did he just get left off, or was he injured?
I think he's injured too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're going to look for the experience of Schneider and Robin and De Jong and Van Persie, as well as Huntelaar. And, you know, they've got a few young players coming through. They've got Daley Blind, who is the son of Danny Blind. and he's like their assistant coach, and he's a really good player, but they haven't got anyone who's like proper quality coming in to take the place of the old guard that have left off. So the Netherlands are a team in they're in between generations.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they've really transitioned. It certainly seems like they don't. Their blend of youth and experience might not be at its optimal level, considering most young guys are just so green when it comes to the world stage.
Let's put it this way: Dirk Kuyt's still on the team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's there just to remind everyone how ugly the world can get.
I think he's having the mask. The mask. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's having, although that was Jimmy Bullard's. Jimmy Bullard's was this the doppelganger for the mask. I think he's having a competition with Park Ju Young, Ji Sung Park, right? Is he still playing for Korea? He is, right?
I think so.
I thought he retired. Yeah,
did he retire? Wow. Really? Yeah. He finally retired? Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, because I always kind of fancied them in the same way. You know, Park played that role for your squad, Mark, for United,
yeah,
for years.
Yeah, and yeah.
The industrious winger, right?
Third Lung Park, that's what they called him.
Third Lung Park.
Yeah.
that's pretty witty. I didn't know United fans could come up with something that witty.
We're full of surprises.
So you learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that nickname in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think maybe I heard it, but I never remembered it. That's the first time I've come up.
It's always something to be admired in a player when they just run for, 90 minutes and just never stop. So yeah.
Players that can bust a gut. No
doubt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No doubt. So they're going to be heavily dependent on the Dutch skunk, the gray cunt, the bald cunt, and the rest of them. So, go on.
Yeah, I'm going to hate watching these games with the Netherlands.
Yeah, really. I mean, the only player – I guess there are two players on that squad who I've had any kind of affinity for at one point, obviously Van Persie when he was an Arsenal player. Mm-hmm. And I used to always like – I always liked a lot of the technical ability of Wesley Sneijder, And he's still got a lot in the bag, but it's just the question of fitness and whether he can hang, Mm-hmm. Like these players –
but
they're certainly past
the thing with all of them. With all of them, like Sneijder, his fitness – he's got so many fitness issues coming into this World Cup. Mm-hmm. And Huntelaar's had a way below average season at Schalke,
injury riddled too. Yeah,
yeah, and their midfield is going to be De Jong, who's had a horrible season with Milan, and it's going to be between Jonathan de Guzman of Swansea, or Leroy Fer of Norwich. That's what they have to choose from in the midfield, And in defense, they've got the experience they have there is just it's below the usual quality. They've got Ron Vlaar, and I think it's going to be with Joel Veltman. They don't have any players that are going to stand out and that have played for top teams in Europe. A lot of them are inexperienced on the big stage as well. It's their debut, and it might be their first and last tournament for them, unfortunately.
I think they're just going to have to really look at the younger players in this sense to inspire them to push a little harder, because just looking at the lineup, these guys are good. I mean, it's not to say that experience isn't going to play a part in them losing matches or conceding goals and stuff, but I feel that, if they just pick the lineup properly and put the right players in, they could really get the most out of their youth and maybe substitute on their more experienced players to kind of grind out the rest of the match.
The thing is, I want them to fail so miserably. I want Van Gaal to give a taste to the United States supporters what kind of coach he is. I want him to make so many mistakes.
I see what you're saying. It's probably going to happen. I mean, with the team that he has now, but if anything, if he pulls this off, it's going to be a pretty impressive showing.
I mean, they'll do very well to get out of their group.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, I mean, look who else they have there, though. I mean,
Right. Well, we'll continue. Let's move on from these Dutch bastards. I don't really want to speak much more about them.
I'm gonna say Van Gaal is gonna be the deciding factor that's gonna actually push them that much further in that tournament.
All right. Well, you know, when we get to predictions in a few minutes, you can predict we'll get out of the group. Feel free, and we will hold it against you after when they bow out miserably.
They can do it. I believe in them.
I think the only chance for them is to get a miracle run out of Schneider for him to stay fit for a couple of weeks to get some of this done, and have to ride someone like Van Persie if his back doesn't break, the old man, or any of his other appendages, crossing my fingers, then, you know, if he can fire in the goals, we all know. Everybody here, with three Arsenal fans and a United fan, we all know the difference a fit Van Persie can make, and a difference in a game where maybe your team hasn't been so spectacular. He is able to produce that bit of magic. Well, I'll give him credit for that.
I only know about this difference like 2 out of 8 years, so I've got bad memories about this.
Yeah.
Well, one of those years was for Manchester United, so I gotta say, like, I'm right on board with what you're spouting there. Fair enough. I mean, ultimately for United fans, this will just be a great audition for most of these young Dutch players to see who's probably.
Yeah. How many of those Dutch players do you expect to see leave for United after the summer?
If you want me to make a short list.
Give me a list of three. Yes.
A list of three, Jordi Klaassi, Daley Blind, and let's shoot for Memphis Depay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think those are reasonable choices. I think they'll make a big difference. It's part of the younger squad that Van Gaal will try and build at Manchester United.
Enough club football. This is a world football.
Oh, my bad.
It's all good. Well, let's move on from there. Let's go to your Australia. Why don't you give us a little breakdown, Mark?
Aussie.
As a man who's lived amongst the Australians, you do not have an Australian accent or anything.
No.
But you are very familiar
with
them.
Don't even try.
No. he knows better.
How you going, mate?
Ouch.
Honestly, you know, after going through the team, I will say that there's a little more hope than I had initially when I was kind of, you know, prior to all my research.
Really? I looked through and I read your preview and I'm looking at names and I recognize like two. So.
Well, I mean, coming from Australia, I mean, someone like Mark Bresciano, he's like a hero there. And despite the fact that, and I did mention, it's like the fourth most popular sport in Australia behind Aussie rules football, cricket, and rugby.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's not really as hyped up there, but when it comes around for the World Cup, you can imagine they get behind their country like any patriotic nation would.
Hey, any reason for Australians don't need any reason to be able to drink beer at odd hours.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like any excuse for them to be boisterous in drinking. That is it. Like they're
right.
We all know Australians are a good time at a party, and you better watch yourself because if you hang out with them too long, you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, it'll be a long night and then next day. That's
yes.
For sure. But on to the football. I mean, there are some young stars here. I mentioned Tommy Orr and Matt Ryan, not to be confused, of course, with the quarterback. But, you know, young players playing for decent clubs in Europe, and they have enough experience from that to actually bring something to this team, I'll give it that. You have Tim Cahill from Everton, Mile Jedinak, who was voted Australian Player of the Year. I mean, they have a solid squad. They're scrappy. You know, they play some middle-aged football. Middle-aged, sorry. Like just some medieval football at times. But, you know, they have strength and they have passion. And sometimes that's all you need from a team, especially when you have a Dutch team that may be falling apart, or that at least some of us are hoping will fail miserably. And then you have, you know, Spain, who's most likely going to beat everybody up in that group. But ultimately, they have a shot. I would say Chile have better shots of making it out of that group other than any of the three teams apart from Spain. But hey, Australia, if anything, will have that opportunity to show their fans and what the future may hold for them. And I think they're going to have speed, strength.
They don't have a future.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know,
as they have to just still continue qualifying out of Oceania or Asia, they have a future until those other countries get better.
Right.
So they have a future for as long as we can see.
You know, there's never really been a golden age for them. Sorry. But I mean, the days of Harry Kuehl and Mark Viduka are long
Viduka,
gone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know.
I was a big Kuehl fan. He was like one of the only players I liked on Liverpool back in those teams years
ago. And when he was on Middlesbrough, I still remember. He was
Viduka? Yeah.
Yeah, he was excited.
Yeah, yeah. No,
Harry Kuehl. There's that.
Viduka at Leeds?
Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Oh, yeah. Of course, of course. But, you know, Viduka and Harry Kuehl.
I hate them all.
Yeah.
Let's start the over under 1 point.
Over under. Well, over under. I think you got to. We can't do the over under 1 point. Over under a half point.
I think. Okay. I think they're gonna steal a point from Netherlands. I just have this feeling like they're gonna do that.
Right.
In terms of like matchups, even. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the way that they pushed Italy in the last World Cup, I mean, I mentioned in my article, like, without that shady call, and I was in Perth at the time, you know, and all the Australians, you know, are split down the middle between either being Italian or Greek. And so, you know, a lot of Italians showed up and a lot of Greeks showed up to boo the Italians. But it was a really shady call, and Australia really did push the eventual world champions to their brink. Sorry, no, I mean, this was, sorry, 2006, my bad. And
yeah, they got none of those players.
Yeah, right? Sorry, 2006.
I think Timmy Cahill might have been there for his first one then, right?
Right, right. And, you know, this team has grit, and that's something that, you know, maybe more complacent teams like Spain lack. And who knows?
Yeah. Hey. I mean, they're still going to have to try to impose their will, at least in that aspect, if, you know, because obviously they're not going to dominate a team like Spain technically. They're going to have to try to impose their physical will. I mean, it's tough with the squad. I mean, you know, it's highlighted. The only name that people know that's left is, like we said, Timmy Cahill, who's, you know, who's spending his days, you know, lounging in New York. I mean, to be fair, to be fair, his form's been all right for the Red Bulls from what I've seen. You know, he's been playing.
Absolutely.
He's been playing decently, but, you know, it's not like it's not the same Timmy Cahill of 5 years ago or from the last World Cup.
4 years
but,
old.
I mean, they're going to have. What was that? Anyways, yeah. So it's, you know, it's been a while for him, and he's so Timmy is you know, is seeing out his last days in New York, and, you know, good for him. We'll see what it does for Australia, and best of luck to him, because, you know, they're a good story to talk about. It's nice to see them go out there and give it their all, but really, I mean, no one really expects too much from them. But let's move on to our final team of the group. Chile, a team that really excited a lot of people at the last World Cup, full of a lot of attacking talent and verve and a lot of passion. And I think you can't discount the effect of really playing a tournament in their home continent. You know, Chile's got to be one of those teams you look at as a really dangerous dark horse that really could make a run in this tournament. Alex, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you think? What do you think their biggest threat is?
The thing about Chile is that they've because of the climate and the geography of where they are, and the goal averages and their scores and the win rates, they've been predicted by a number cruncher that they're going to win the World Cup. Now, this number cruncher isn't famous to you guys. She's famous to us because she presents a program in the UK called Countdown, and she's very, very pretty as well as very clever. And she thinks, based on her prediction, based on her math, that the Chile are going to win the World Cup.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, this is an Oxbridge-educated person, okay? She's going to be an ambassador during the tournament as well.
So
what
is her name, so we can blame her for when everyone puts their money
her name
on Chile?
You
got to put a name on this if you're going to...
Okay, her name is Rachel Riley. Okay,
Rachel
she's not a porn star. She is not a porn star.
She hot,
but the alliteration makes it sound so good. It just flows.
Yeah. I know. But she's great. Everyone loves her here. Yeah, so she's saying that Chile, because with Ladbrokes and like other betting companies in the UK, Chile are 40-1. That's a long way away from the World
Cup. Right, right.
that means put some money on Chile at 40-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's not a bad punt. At 40-1, I can't say I dislike that bet. But
yeah. So
a couple bucks on there.
Yeah, certainly interesting. There has been some new news coming out of their camp that they expect Arturo Vidal to be fit. And that was a big question for them, especially considering he is, you'd have to say he's probably their best player on their squad. He and Alexis, you know, are the two players at the biggest mm-hmm. clubs with the biggest influence. I really look at what we've seen from Arturo Vidal the past couple of years for Chile and especially for what he's been doing at Juventus. I mean, he's probably one of the best box-to-box midfielders there is in the game at the moment when he's fit. You know, he did come off. I mean, he did just have a recent knee surgery to clean stuff up. I know they did that. You know, he had that just before the end of the season. Once they had tied up the title, he had the surgery in order to be able to be back and fit. And so a lot of their success hinges on his fitness because he really is their driving force to the midfield, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that, like, I believe in these kind of things, but Chile are ranked 13th in the FIFA rankings, you know? And Italy were ranked 13th in 2006 when they won the World Cup.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, Portugal's 4. And they're, yeah, they're not really.
That's bullshit.
England is 11.
Of course it's bullshit. Of course it's bullshit. Yeah,
and England's rating, whenever they're in the top 20, makes no fucking sense. And they're perennially at like number 10. And they can,
yeah.
Occasionally jump up to like 6 or 7. Like, what the fuck have they done to jump up there?
It's because on paper, Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard are supposed to get along and
about
use miracles, you know? Exactly.
FIFA rankings are based on how much sex Wayne Rooney has, okay? That's
the only way. With prostitutes.
It is terrible. I don't want to think about anything about Wayne Rooney having sex. It's just terrible, terrible vision.
Shrek,
why would you do that to our listeners? No one is going to listen anymore, Alex. I'm talking about Wayne Rooney fucking. Like, no one wants to hear
you know,
this.
Actually,
let's get back to Chile.
Manchester United fans have a bit of a fetish for that. But, you
know. grandmothers in the Manchester area.
Yeah.
Look out. Well, looking at the rest of this Chile squad, we have Medel, who apparently is going to be playing in the defense, which is a bit surprising.
He's going to kill someone. He's going
probably
to kill someone.
That's
they only took 4 defenders.
That's insane. But I mean, they play a 3-4-3 formation. It's a bit
but
they're gonna defend with humidity. So
they better hope. But you look at on the wings, they have Isla and Boisajor, who I think he used to play at Wigan. I don't know where the fuck he is now. But if you look up front, they've got Fernandez, they've got Eduardo Vargas and Alexis Sanchez. I mean, there's a lot of pace and creativity and good finishing ability up there. You know, between Eduardo Vargas and Alexis Sanchez, you got to look at them as a team that really does offer a big threat up front. You know, with a guy like Arturo Vidal coming through the middle who can also finish. You got to look at it, and their manager now, Sampaoli, he comes from the Marcelo Bielsa school of coaching. You know, he likes to let his team play in an aggressive and attacking manner. You know, and so. And also, you know, they work on really doing a lot of high pressing. So you look at how that's going to affect, especially teams that are going to have trouble dealing with high pressure, high intensity, especially, like we said, in this climate, can really prove to be a challenge.
Yeah, these guys are really, really physical. And it's going to be interesting to see if they can step up and actually make a quarterfinal or semifinal. And I think they can. I think there's pieces there for it.
They just got to get out of that group, that's all.
Yeah, I could see them making a quarterfinal run. That's not outside of the realm of possibility. But here's the thing. If they do make it out of the group, like they really need to shoot to win it because you know who they face if they get out. They'd face the winner of Group A, which would be – that means they have to go up against Brazil in the round of 16, which is tough because I think for most of us – I mean, we'll get to our predictions right now. My predictions for teams coming out of this group is going to be Spain qualifying first and then Chile.
Mm.
I mean, you know, that leaves us, you know, with, like we said, imagine Spain were to finish second or Brazil were to finish second. They could have a Spain versus Brazil in the round of 16, which would be a bit insane. But if it goes as planned, we would have them on opposite sides of the bracket and a team like Chile would have to face Brazil in the round of 16. Now that'd be one hell of a match. Probably the best match we could see
yeah,
at the
sure,
round of 16.
Right.
That would be quite, quite the matchup, you know, relatively early in the tournament.
Heads will roll.
Yeah, in some country, one or the other.
The thing about Chile and Colombia and Uruguay and Brazil, all of them, but all the South American teams, is that the climate and the humidity, if we're going to see a big effect after the first couple of games, that's when we'll be able to like see Chile take full advantage. Because if we're going to end up seeing teams being tired or looking like really, really passing weirdly and just behaving very stupidly and tiredly, then obviously it's causing a big advantage to the South American teams.
Well, there's a reason why no European team has ever won in South America or Central America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why it's hard to pick against these South American teams, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's just really tough. I couldn't do it. I mean, I've done a couple brackets and gone through, and, you know, even though I could see, you know, maybe Germany making it to the final, I just really don't see – I don't see how a South American team – there's going to be at least one South American team in the final. It's going to have to be. And they're going to – and no matter who they are, they're going to have an advantage, because even if – you know, if Brazil get knocked out, the people that are there, you know, everyone that's there is going to be rooting for South American teams outside of those fans. You know, the neutrals that are there and the people in the streets want a South American team to win. Unless it's Argentina. In Brazil, no one, they will root for anybody but Argentina.
But, yeah.
But for the others, I mean, they'd probably even root for Uruguay, you know, even though they've been done dirty by them. But you could see that. So why don't we get your guys' predictions for the group? Let's start with you, Alex. Who do you see getting out first and second?
Well, at the very bottom of the devil's pit, I see Australia with Timmy Cahill. And with in third place, I am going to go with Holland because I fucking hate them. Not as a country, not as a people, but as a squad.
But as an organization.
As
straight up.
Yeah. As a record label, too.
As a record label.
Yeah.
Thank you for finishing that. Thank you.
So yeah, I think Chile are going to surprise us a bit, but not enough for us to think they're going to win the World Cup, obviously. But yeah, so I have Spain first, Chile second, and Holland, Netherlands third, Australia last.
Let's go to you, Gus.
Man, what a boring ass podcast! I picked the exact same. I picked the exact same.
Lineup. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Same as well. Let's go on to you, Mark.
I mean, I'm just to be different. No, I'm just kidding. I did pick the Dutch and the Spaniards to go through, so I'm going to stick with that. I think
Dutch finishing second.
Dutch finishing second, of course. Yeah. But ultimately, I think
that's a headline Van Gaal's going to have to get used to next year. So.
that would be a big improvement.
It'll be an improvement. So
they will take second.
No one's complaining about that.
Stay in the league.
I think the Dutch might. Yeah, at least Van Persie might pull off a miracle or something in a match or two. So,
except he doesn't play too well for the national team.
No, that's true. But, I mean, he has been scoring for them in qualification and friendlies. So.
Yeah, he's had mixed results. Yeah. I mean, I have faith in his quality, unfortunately. And
right.
So I could see him doing the job. I see it as the other two gentlemen saw it. I mean, that's the way I see the group breaking down. Australia maybe getting a point. I'll give you over on that half, and they'll get a point against the Dutch because I don't like the Dutch.
It'll be great.
Australia with a point, the Dutch with like 2 points, and then Chile, and Spain taking the rest.
It would be great if Tim Cahill just punched Van Persie, and then he got sent off, and then two Dutch players punched him back, and that they got sent off, and the Dutch
good.
Had to play with 10 men.
I want Timmy Cahill to do that, and then send a message to a message to Thierry, and they can laugh about Van Persie getting hit in the face.
A lot of fantasy here. I'm starting to get the feeling you might be worried the Dutch might actually do well.
No, not really. I'm really not. Because even beyond my wildest dreams, if they do well enough to qualify, once again, they have to face, you know, top team in Group A, which should be Brazil.
We can do the commentary for it now. Schneider passes to Van Persie. Van Persie passes to Robin. Robin passes it to the post, and then that's it.
Robin, I don't know. He's actually done a few things since the last World Cup of actually finishing in big games, which has helped take away his tag of a choker. Even though he still makes some glorious misses, you know. I mean, he did fail against Real Madrid.
He's the biggest ball hog in the world.
He's terrible, man. I don't want to show his football to kids. You know, everyone knows. Like, he's so good on his left foot that like he does the same thing. And I don't know why defenders haven't like watched him ever and just know he's just going to cut inside.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre that they don't expect that of him.
Are we all gonna act like we don't like help people with receding hairlines? Because I do.
But I mean, I think in key positions they have a player to who's very classy, not classy in the proper sense, but has class and
has talent. And let's go with talent.
Has talent and will definitely deliver.
Soul.
The only thing they got to worry about is probably defense, and if their defense can pull together somehow, because I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and there's like four Feyenoord players there. So hey, they may have cohesiveness at the back. Who knows? So all they got to do is make sure those stars put the ball in the net, and that's it.
All right. So now, since none of us have thought that any of those other teams will be making an impact in the tournament, let's get to Spain. What do you guys think? Give me your opinion, Gus, as to what they're going to do. Do you think it's going to be a dynasty? Are they going to win a record fourth tournament in a row? Or where do you see them falling short?
I have them in the semifinals. I don't have them going all the way just because of the whole European thing in South America.
You see them losing to Argentina.
Yes, I do. Ooh, I have the RGs taking it, but I'm really, really excited to see what Spain do. Just from like a neutral, and I'm really fascinated with this squad that's taken over the world and won everything, and see if they're up for it a fourth time. It's going to take a lot of concentration.
If they were to win this tournament, you'd have to argue that this generation of team is probably the greatest all time because no one has won, you know, tournaments.
Yeah, I still think that they're the great. I think this is the greatest of all time.
I mean, they certainly already have an argument for it, but I think mm-hmm. you would put the argument to rest if you were to win a fourth tournament in a row. It'd be like, no. Any of those teams can all, you know, bow down to this because
Spain could completely suck. Spain could completely. Like, you know, like France in 2002?
Yeah.
They came into the tournament. They've won the Euros and the World Cup.
I don't think they have the fractious nature, though. You know what I mean? Like, the harmony, there's a lot more harmony in the camp, you know? Like,
That's true.
That, like, there's not the volatility. Like, you know, like, here's one thing we have. None of us played into the fact that the Dutch are notorious for blowing up at the World Cup because it's always a team full of individuals. Like, you never know how it's going to go in the dressing room because you always know Van Persie could throw a hissy fit or, you know, and he and Schneider have been in also. I mean, it seems like they've put their differences behind them now. But, you know, these battles they've had and the egos they've had in there have always been a tough thing to control. You know, the Dutch are fiery people.
That's what I'm saying about Van Hall, though. He's just going to step up and lay down the law in that dressing room, you know?
The only thing he's going to lay down is horse placenta, okay?
There's only one other team that's crazier, and that's the French.
That's true. Yeah, and I don't even think they have the disharmony in their camp this year. They still have Evra for some reason, that vile
snake.
How
could you have disharmony with Giroud in your team? Like, seriously, the happiness is everywhere.
Oh, wow. A little bit of gunner blindness over in this spot.
I don't know if he's referring to his ability on the pitch.
I will agree, though. I will say that they're definitely probably going to put a little ego aside and just kind of gel together as best as they can. And it seems that they have been. And
I'm saying is I don't expect to see – well, we're not talking about France. That's another podcast.
I see.
But, yeah, I mean, the Dutch team, we'll see what they do. But I really don't see any fractures in Spain. I mean, they have a good core group of players, and we've seen their ability to go from battling head-to-head, you know, whether it be Atletico versus Barca, Barcelona versus Real Madrid, to put that aside when they come together for the national team and really put it together. Mark, where do you see them finishing? Do you see them making to the final again?
The Spaniards?
Yep.
I do. I do believe in them. I think, if anything, they got that mental aspect over most players, the same way that Manchester United did for so many years under Alex Ferguson. but I think, you know, you beat a lot of teams as a team like Spain. You beat a lot of teams mentally before you even step on the pitch. So they will continue to have that advantage and the discipline that they need to take themselves, you know, all the way at least to the semifinals. But I'm predicting that they will be in the finals. Yes.
Are they going to finish first? Or are they going to finish second? You got to give me an actual prediction.
Oh, I actually have to. Okay, I have to commit to something here.
You got to commit to something. We make real predictions.
This isn't fucking Tinder, okay? You have to commit to something here.
Okay. All right. They will win it all then.
They're going to win it. All right.
They're going to win it.
Mark has picked Spain to be his World Cup 2014 champions.
Yes.
Biggest mistake of his life.
No, that was supporting Manchester United, but
never.
We'll go from there. And
Alex, years of glory.
Alex, where will the Spaniards finish? La Furia Roja otra vez o no?
I think they'll reach the semis. I think this is the first tournament outside Europe that lost in their dynasty period. So I think they'll finish in the semis. I think they'll lose the semis.
Fair enough. That's where I have them too. I have them bowing out to Argentina in the semifinals. In my, at least where I stand now, that's where my bracket is as we stand. But I see them losing in the semifinals. I think we'll leave it there, gentlemen. You can look at all of these fine gentlemen's previews on the redcarddistrict.com. You can look at all of their previews. They'll be continuously coming out. We have the rest of them coming out later this week and the week to follow leading up to the tournament. And look for the Group C preview to follow in a couple days. Follow these fine gentlemen on Twitter. You can follow Alex at @the_Beck_. You can follow Mark at MarkJC88 and Gus at GusContreras21. Thank you all so much, gentlemen, and we'll have to do it again soon and look for more from us coming up.